Hallelujah. We're going to read part of what we've read. We're not going to stay in there very long. I'm just going to go some other places. Some of the places I'll just read. I won't keep you long. But I'll just tell you the scripture. You can write them down. And the Lord's given me some stuff in the last few days that I think is going to go for a few weeks. So we're not even going to try to get into it too far tonight, except maybe to just get introduced to it. And a lot of it is where we've been in Ephesians and some other places. And some of it's been inspired by some stuff I'd heard Gary Carpenter minister on, although I haven't heard him in weeks. But I know that the Holy Spirit was speaking to the church out there, and He's speaking to the church here, and He's getting us ready to win against all fiery darts. Hallelujah. Because we will not stay diverted. Hallelujah. And eviction notices are coming, but they're not coming for us. They're going to spirits of darkness. Hallelujah. So why don't you just stretch your faith this way and just help me. Pray for me. Hallelujah. Father, I just receive their prayers. I can do nothing of myself, but all things through Christ. I receive your grace, Holy Spirit, the simplicity of your grace, Father. Speak to us. Lead us. Guide us. According to wisdom and truth and perfect peace. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to begin to speak to you. I believe He's going to have me say some things about sons, soldiers, and servants. Can you say that? Sons, soldiers, and servants. Okay. Before we turn there, before we turn to Ephesians 6, since you're in Ephesians, let's just look at Ephesians 2. A lot can be said about this book. We've been saying more and more about it, about how that it's really divided in two parts. The first part is the part that affects you and your flesh, getting you dead, if you can say it that way, dead to the things of this world, so that you are an effective soldier. Ephesians 6 is the part where you get into the soldier part, but let's look just for a second at the sonship part. In verse 5 of chapter 2, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us, everybody said made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, before you ever get to the soldier part, you have this part, which is the sonship, and just lets you know, right to start with, when you got born again, you received the DNA of the new nature, and that DNA of the new nature, whether you feel like it or not, see, some of you may not feel like it, or you may not feel like it tomorrow, but no matter what, your new nature has been positionally seated. In other words, he said, he didn't say if you want to, he said you've been made to. You've been made to sit together with Christ Jesus. Where at? In heavenly places. And it's a good thing to know when you're going into a fight that no matter how I feel in the fight, that positionally I'm a son. I'm already. There's nothing, I can't, certain things have to be changed progressively. You have to learn how to be a good soldier. You have to learn how, really, your whole life is learning how to die enough to become a servant unto God, a slave unto God. That's where we really are going to go with this as time progresses. And that's exactly what revival is about. How much can I die so that He can place on me the trust that you're going to handle and serve off of my table, which is Luke chapter 14, all the guests that were invited to come, and the revivalists, that's you and me. It all depends on how much of our life can be humbled to the place where He can come and endow us with the full expression of what a servant is. And a servant is somebody that says, okay, I'm ministering, but I'm not ministering in my stead. I've been empowered to give everything that my good man, my father, wants to serve on this table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sonship is something that just, it's something that does happen immediately. Whether you feel like you're a son or a daughter, even when you sin, and even when you feel like I'm not who I think I should, I'm not much of a soldier right now, I'm not much of this, I'm not, your spiritual DNA changes instantaneously. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. Old things are passed away. I might have to spend the next however much long I have on this life learning to be a good soldier. I might have to learn how to humble myself before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow His everything that He was. Philippians says, let this mind be in you as was also in Christ. Philippians 2. What mind? The mind of a servant. The word is phaneo. It means to have an association with. It literally means to have such an association with that if you hang around, you know, the word does say, how does it say? I want to quote it, but it's in essence is bad company corrupts what? Good manners. I mean, the more you hang around with them, if they're perverse in their thoughts and their minds and stuff, I mean, you got to work with people and all that stuff. But I'm talking about if you take your lunch with them, and I'm talking about if you hang out with them. Eventually, your good manners will be corrupted, and you won't even know it because you're hanging around them. Phaneo means you hung around Christ enough that there is a rubbing shoulders to where you start acting like Him. And one thing that I want to act like Him the most in is I want to learn how to give my life over. Hallelujah. I want to learn how to serve. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm looking back there at my little buddy James. Today is James's 6th birthday. Hallelujah. Amen. James, could you stand up? Could all of us sing to James? Happy birthday. On the count of three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, James. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. Now, where was I? Ephesians 6. Look at it. I want to know, first of all, that I'm, you know, the first thing that happens to you when you come into the kingdom, you become a what? Son or daughter. Before you are ever asked to do anything, before you ever get big, bad soldier, before you ever become a serving son, your DNA is, I mean, a serving son as a servant, your DNA is, you're just His son or daughter. That's the first thing that happens to you. It's not like you're promoted first. The promotion is this. I'm Abba. I'm Daddy. And you're my baby. You're my son. You're my daughter. And if you can perpetuate that relationship for the next 50 years and never get away from me being daddy and you being daughter, me being daddy, you being son, then I can teach you how to become a serving son. I can teach you how to become a fearless soldier that will win in the face of all odds. Hallelujah. So quickly, we read this because we've read it several times before, but I don't want to do it an injustice. Verse 10 of 6 says, finally, and finally meant finally, after a conclusion to a great teaching, 1 through 5 in this book, chapters 1 through 5. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against, number 3, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, these guys, they have a lot of assignments. The smaller ones, spiritual wickedness in high places, these are the ones you're fighting really on a daily basis. They try to bring sickness. They try to bring disease. They try to bring confusion, contention, all the other things. We could go up the pecking order and describe, and we've done that before. Sometimes they've come into our church services. Sometimes they've tried to shut things down. And the intercessors always pick it up. Praise God. Praise God, they don't blame it on the preacher. That was a bad service. Man, I don't know. Pastor Brock was off. My God. Hallelujah. Keep praying. Keep praying. Hallelujah. You know, one of the best things that we're learning, at least at this point, and we're no brag, Father, no brag. We're learning. We're not shooting each other. Hallelujah. Because as long as you're a baby, the problem is, boom, no, boom. What? You're the problem. No, you're the problem. Man, that was a bad service. What's the problem here? You're not preaching real well. No, there's devils out there. I'm praying for you. You pray for me. Hallelujah. When you see and sense there's a struggle, don't go, man, I missed a good CSI tonight for this. Golly. Don't go, hey, honey, you got any bubble gum or anything? I mean, I'm doping out on this guy. I'm getting sleepy. Can you give me something? I mean, realize there is another world out there. Hallelujah. And they can come in, and they're not invited, but they can try to come in. And usually what we normally do in those kind of situations, Matt, just crank her up, buddy. We're just going to worship through it. Hallelujah. I've found that worship and prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, breaks those spirits more than anything else. And you just begin to, it's the sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. And that is one of the ones that is listed here as the last one, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is, it says, the Word of God. But it's not the Logos Word of God. It is the Rhema Word of God. And it is the word that, it's the offensive word. It's like, the Logos is the shield of faith. And that's when you're in a fight and the devil's coming into the middle of the night and you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and all that stuff is on your mind. You just pray and say, okay, Holy Spirit, remind me of the scripture I need right now. And one little word will fail him. Hallelujah. You don't have to get up and give an exegesis. You don't have to get up and say, okay, let's see, let me find my Bible. You know what? The best time to get word in you is not when the pressure's on. Because if you're trying to figure it out when the pressure's on, you're just like, oh, God, I don't know. Get the word in you now. On a sunny day, when it feels good, and you don't have to, spend the time getting the word of God in you. Because the sunny day will sometimes turn into a cloudy day, and you'll be looking, and this, I'm telling you, if it's not in there, it can't come up. But if it's in there, the Holy Spirit will run the Rolodex. Boom, 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 boom. And you'll be amazed how smart you become in the Holy Spirit. And the shield of faith is the Logos. And you repudiate his argument against you. And don't argue with him. Jesus quoted the word, but he didn't argue with him. Because if the enemy had known that Jesus would, hey, maybe he'll argue with me. Jesus, I say this, you say that. Don't sit there and let the word begin to seethe, begin to put something into effect in the devil. You may feel his presence even after you spoke it, but let the word begin to penetrate that atmosphere. Hallelujah. And he's there and he speaks a word against you. And as long as you think you've got to argue, then you'll try to figure out I got to come up with another scripture. I got to come up with another one. You'll have a conversation going on in your head. Speak the word and back off in peace and let the word raise up a standard. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So a lot of times us, Matt, crank it up. Matt knows what's going on. The intercessors knows what's going on. But we take the word and it's the prophetic word. Hallelujah. It's the prophetic word. Well, this is, we have to know that we're sons. And I don't know, over the next few weeks, it won't be scripted like sons, soldiers, and servants. But I know that in this, the Lord is sharing a bunch of scripture with me. And the one thing he's saying is this. All of these have to be developed and intertwined or interweaven. They have to be dovetailed for all of them to complement and bring forth the full expression of life and grace to everything that I've called you in each one of them. In other words, you have to know you're a son and be seated and know I don't have to feel it before I step up and say I'm going to be a soldier in this. I am going to win this battle, but I've already won it. If I think that if I don't understand my sonship, then I'm not going to be able to express my soldiership. I'm not going to be able to step up and say, I am a son. I don't care. I'm not even going to argue with you, you lying thing. I'm speaking the word because I'm a son. And because I'm a son, I'm also a soldier and I can win in this battle. Hallelujah. And I'll guarantee you, as we look at these scriptures over the next few weeks, the sonship gives a compliment to the soldiership and the soldiership to the sonship and every single one of them to our serving, to our dying, to our place of understanding that we're servants in Christ. We have to learn how to die. And there's a great word of mortification in this assembly, and we give compliment to it as much as possible. Let me have you turn to... thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew. I've got some scripture here, but I'm just kind of, and some notes, but I'm not following them directly. I'm just following the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 28. And then also, I'm going to look. Luke 14. Thank you, Jesus. This scripture is most commonly used, and it's just so powerful, these words here. It's simple, but it's our commission. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Everybody say power. All power. Now, did he get some power? He got it all. All power is given unto me in heaven and where? In earth. Now, there's a great teaching, and how much we'll go into it tonight is very minimal. But he received the power, but he has to have us as a body to work in authority. We have the authority because we are living vessels on this earth, but he has all the power. And we've received the authority that he received as a son when he served out his sonship. Now we walk in that, but for that to be personified, to be lived out, he has to have us in the earth. It's a joint venture. It is a joint venture. I don't know if people in heaven pray to God for us. Maybe so, but I'm telling you, their prayers for us does not carry the wallop. It doesn't Mary can't pray somebody into salvation up in heaven. I love Mary. Love her. Thank God for how she was used. Peter, no, there's no patron saint that can pray for you and get things done. The authority to get things done in the earth rests upon living human beings here. We have to cast out devils. We have to lay hands on the sick. And so all of this power, Christ, this is after the cross, this is after His resurrection, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now He says, go. He says, go. We have some tremendous definitions on that. I don't know if I'll share that tonight. But just on the word go, He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and do what? Teach. He says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And again, He reiterates and He says, teaching them to do what? When He says the word teach, it means to be a disciple of one, to follow His precepts and instructions. Second part, to make a disciple, to teach or to instruct. He says, teaching them to what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. The word observe means to attend to carefully, to take care of. It means to guard. It means to keep one in a state in which he is to observe. So Jesus is speaking here, and He's not just saying, I mean, see, the thing of it is what we've been entrusted with as sons carries over into the soldiership of us taking a planet in revival for Christ. And interwoven in that, as we're going to see, is our servanthood, our laying down our life. But it is so vitally important that you that have been born again and are spiritual revivalists understand that the commission, the great commission here is not just to go and spread abroad the good seed or just tell the good news. It is to make disciples. It is to make disciples. It is two times here he says, teaching them to observe everything that I've said and everything that I've done. In other words, it is our commission as a church not only to bring them in and to see them born again, but it is our commission to take them and transpose the DNA. That's not a right way to say it. They've already got the DNA inside of them. My DNA, Sherry is my sister, my spiritual sister. Physically, no. We had different mothers and fathers. But if you could literally take a spiritual microscope and slide just a fleck of her spiritual being, who she is on the inside, and a little bit of me under that microscope, you could see just like brothers and sisters, they know, I mean, they know, they may have never met, but you can tell, the DNA test will tell, yes, that is your brother, that's yours. They can tell if you're just a quarter or half or whatever, they can tell that you're brother or sister. We're full brothers and sisters in Christ. The DNA is there, but somebody, when I come in, has got to teach me to observe who I am. Who Christ has made me. I've got to teach them that this is what revival looks like. I've got to teach them that this is what a soldier looks like, and this is what a serving son or daughter looks like. And to do that, what I've got to do is I've got to also know that that kind of DNA is working in me in full expression. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. It's got to be working in me to the full expression, to where that it goes beyond what he said in the book of Hebrews when he said, for the time you ought to be teachers, but you're like those who once again need the sincere milk of the word. He's not talking about teachers like, I'm going to open the word up here and I'm going to share the word and I'm going to be a teacher. Do you know how very few, and I'm not talking about that I'm greater than you, but the fivefold is only it's a small minority of the body of Christ. But we're all called to be teachers. And we're all supposed to be teaching them to observe. And the way that we're supposed to be teaching them to observe is through the example that Christ puts inside of us. And when they're being born again, we're bringing them in and saying, look, I've got to get you to Luke 14, and you've got to be, I don't know, I can't dictate to you right now what you are, but I can tell you, you're part of the service of the kingdom. You're a soldier, you're first a son or daughter, but you are a soldier in Christ, and you are a servant, and at some point, we're going to go to Luke 14 in just a second, you're supposed to be serving off this table. Well, the only way that I can do that is I have to be a teacher to them. And they have to observe whatsoever things Christ has said to the church through my life and through my teaching of what the Word of God means. We have to understand this, to understand real revival, we have to duplicate ourselves. We have to duplicate ourselves. You know the grave responsibility that puts us under? If I duplicate him, if he becomes me, and Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I know you guys aren't following me like I'm your God, I'm your this. But you come here looking to a man that says, I believe that man follows Christ. Other people follow you. It's just a natural, it's not an out of order thing, it's not a perverted thing. It's, we believe what you're speaking is true, or else we wouldn't come here. Every one of us become a teacher, and I have to ask myself as I become that teacher, and this is heavy, but it's the truth. If I duplicate myself in that person and cause them to observe, what kind of soldier are they going to be? Is my agape walk, if they fully attain to my agape walk, are they going to be a qualified soldier? If they come to church like I come to church, are they going to be one of the best being used of God members of this force of, if they give like I give? And now we're talking about fruit now. We're not talking about that. Those are fruits. But I'm talking about an internal root system, which is more of the things of agape and love, and those other things are just fruit. But if I duplicate myself in that person, if they see Christ in me and say, that's exactly what I need to be, will they become the good soldier? Hallelujah. Oh, this is good stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We've said this before, we'll say it again, and I know that you know this, but it'll help you. And there's no indignant in it. It's just helping us to know where we're going, what we are. We're not really, we are a church, but we're a training center. See, just like when Daddy comes home, and I love those little commercials of, what are they, the little Pillsbury Doughboys running out to get, huh? Yeah. Daddy's home, Daddy's home. Or Mommy. See, everybody in this room, just about, I guess everybody probably, is more than one thing. Just like you're a son first, and you're a soldier, and you're a servant, and the guy's a businessman all day, but when he gets out of the truck and those kids start running up to him, if he's got kids that age, he's no longer a businessman, he's a daddy. And when he walks over and kisses his wife, He's a husband. She may have been a businesswoman during the day. When she gets home, then she's a... Or she may have been a housewife all day. And she may have been a mother all day. Or a mother at the end of the day when the kids get home. And then she becomes a wife. But she's all those things all the time anyway. Hallelujah. That's who we are. We're several things at once. But we've got to understand that as a church, our existence, we're not just here. Our number one objective, by far, is not just to get a bunch of people to come in here. That's the fruit. If we're trying to get people, it would destroy us. It would have destroyed us a long time ago. We're after a foundation for revival to equip a bunch of men and women that want to learn how to be mobile in Christ. We're actually a special ops team that one day will have the multitudes. But even then, when the masses come in, you better learn how to duplicate yourself in them and teach them who they are as a son, as a soldier, as a servant. And they've got to understand, look, we're only going to allow you to drink milk for a little bit. Because we're going to love you, and we're going to try to find every way possible to help you in your situations. But if you pamper people, and if you stroke their flesh, you'll become servants, not unto Luke 14, which gives you the ability to hand out healing, deliverance, and all those. All you'll be doing is going around trying to put out fires for thousands of little babies that come in. You have to duplicate yourself in them and say, look, let me tell you something. I'm not going to be the one to help you past this, but I can teach you how to get past it. Hallelujah. Oh, this is good teaching. This is what he said. This is why I say we have to transfer the image, not our DNA. It's already in them once they get born again, but we have to transfer the image of our spiritual DNA. And not, we're not trying to build a church. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. We want to see a revival. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 15, 8 through 14 says, the people, this is what Jesus said. He said, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There, where is that? The end of it. Let me just turn there. I'm looking for it. I know it's here. I know I had four pieces of paper up here a minute ago. Hallelujah. All right, just turn there. Matthew 15. 8 through 14. He says this, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. And that whole teaching is just leading up to what I really wanted you to get, which is in verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, this is what his disciples came and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he said unto his disciples, every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. Do you see that? He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now let me just, the reason why I read that is because I want to read this prophecy. Because the Holy Spirit spoke something to me. A prophecy just came the last few days, not from here, but from some place that's legitimate. People are what this is all about. We know that. That's foundational. But also, we have to understand something. And I'm training right now. He's training revivalists. That's what he's doing. He's training revivalists. As people come in, it is our utmost, and I don't know if we'll get to Luke 14 or not. Nope, we won't. It is our utmost desire to get them to a place of servants, service, to serve. And we have to teach them that the true servant is the Luke 20 servant that does everything behind the scenes and asks nothing about it. They just in stealth fashion. See, the churches that teach the day and hour you get to get on the stage, you'll be promoted. That is an extreme weakness. It's a fallacy, and it begins to sow into their DNA from the very get-go that promotion is being seen. And it destroys their place of true servanthood. If they get that in their head, that God will, man, when I get to be start... Whether you're seen or not seen, whether you're in the fivefold or not fold, it is only a fruit of who, that place. And I point oftentimes, that's my prayer clause, that place, wherever your place is, that place of intimacy and fellowship, that's your promotion in life. And everything comes out of that. And what we have to sow into these people from the get-go is, look, your promotion comes through serving Him from the Master's table, which we affectionately know. Those of you that know Luke 14, the whole deal is blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. Sick, maimed, you don't have to be sick anymore. But they're going to come in, and especially those, and I mean this with all sincerity. Now, the people off the streets are the easiest because they don't know anything. And I'd rather take people that don't know anything. Well, I know something. I've been being trained. But if you've been being trained for 10 years by the wrong, then what you've got to do is you start out worse than the people coming off the street, because then you got to dig all that religion out. And sometimes their mind is fighting. They love God. They're hearing you, but their mind is fighting past religion that somebody sowed into them. And so they got to get past that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. If they come in here, we're going to serve them. We're going to serve them to the best of our... But you've got to... You know this. You're going to serve them by transporting. I said it best when I wrote down. We've got to help them to recognize, transfer the image of our spiritual DNA. Say, this is who you are, sister. And you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You're not weak. You're strong. And guess what, honey? You can live above sin. You can. Because a lot of times they're taught, you know, we just got to sin. You can live above that. There's blood for you if you do sin. But you can get past that. When you think, and this is not you, but this is to be reiterated, when you think that we exist to pull the people in, you lose objective. Because we're here for training. We're here to transfer. A lot of people are going to come in. They came to him, they said, Jesus? I mean, he had a staff meeting, and the staff came and said, hey, Jesus, did you know those, you know, the guys that are the preachers? Do you know the preachers were mad at you? What you said offended them? And Jesus was like, And? Okay, and? I'm not trying to get a bunch of people happy, he was saying. I'm not trying to get everybody on board with what I'm teaching. He said, look, leave them alone. Their doctrine's messed up. People are going to come in. I'm teaching this to you revivalists. People are going to come in. We're not going to force anything down them. We're not going to say it's that way because that's Pastor Bronk, what he says. No. We're going to teach scripture and verse and doctrine. But when they go out and they say, I mean, if you want to, you can, but it's okay with me. I mean, you don't have to come and say, Pastor, did you know they left? Because they were very highly offended at what you said this morning. It's okay. We're not trying to get a bunch of people. But in the end, we'll have thousands and thousands and thousands. I see people get up that visit times, and they'll get, we'll get halfway through the service, and they'll say, "That's all I can take of that guy." I'm not going to run after them and make sure that I can put together what they don't believe about what I'm saying. I'm not going to see if I can piece that together. Jesus said, let them. Listen, one of the reasons why we are the size that we are right now is because of God. Do you understand that, revivalist? The foundation is so important, because you're going to duplicate yourself. You're going to nurture those people. You're going to love them. If they have a need, you're going to just pour out your heart. But when they say, "I don't believe that," you're not going to sit there and try to piece together their unbelief. And if they say, "I don't believe that doctrine. I don't believe praying in tongues. I believe you can get weird by praying in tongues." Well, you just say, "Just keep coming." And if they leave, I'm not saying if they leave good riddance. I'm saying if they leave, they weren't part of us. And Jesus said, "Look, okay. Disciples, don't go chasing after them and try to put together their petty differences with what I'm saying as truth and try to say, okay, we want you back. We want you back, preachers." Do you understand what he's saying? Hallelujah. Because you have to have the understanding is, look, we're going to duplicate, but we're going to duplicate what we know is truth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And that is not a get out of my face, good riddance kind of doctrine. That is like, we have what we have here. Do you want some of this? You can have it. There's no line to get on to join. Nobody ever checks anybody's tithing records. It's not like who gives the most gets the most. There's no pecking order like, if I can hang around pastor, maybe he'll let me teach sometime, or maybe he'll do. That has nothing to do with anything here. All of everything is, how much can I find? And when people come in, we introduce this, and some will stay and some will leave. Some will stay and some will leave. And we don't cry and moan and say, "Oh God, we should have found a way to keep them." You're not going to keep everybody. We should have found, it's our lack of visitation, it's our lack of this, it's lack. Listen, we are in a mode of going forward, and until we get it done, we better have a mindset that some are coming and some are going to leave, and we're going to love them all. Hallelujah. And nobody owes us anything. Hallelujah. And all we owe them is to love them. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Oh, I'll close with this. The reading of this. It's quick, and there's only just like a paragraph on the, okay? Because this is what came, and I said, "Oh, Lord, this is right where my heart's been." It says, "Keep your eyes narrowly focused. Beware of the spirit of religion that demands holiness." That's in quotation. "Demands holiness on the outside and not on the inside. Beware of those rules and regulations that come in, causing men to conform to each other's ways rather than my ways. My work is an inside work, and its fruit will follow the flower of beauty, which is my work of truth on the inside. As men are conformed to my truth, the natural will follow. For the natural always follows the spiritual. Just as a seed, so is my word. First the inside work that is hidden, then the outside work that is revealed." The spirit of religion is going to have a great emphasis on the quotation outside appearance, without promoting the work of my word on the inside. My work is an inside work that manifests in fruit hanging on the outside for all to see. And abundant is the fruit for the picking, just as in a healthy fruit-laden tree. The spirit of religion does, again, quotation, "nice things and demands to be seen, while the spirit of true holiness is intent on the pleasure that comes from me. Beware of the leaven of men which or whose substance is from the works they demand from others. These leaveners demand the outside works for their sake and neglect the inward work that comes from my hand. They teach false doctrines of sacrifice by others for their sake. But my hand moves according to the heart of man, according to my word, for my pleasure and blessings are all already with those who have accepted salvation according to my plan. Quotation, religion, works and works, so that I might bestow my blessing and denies the abundance of grace that comes from love's hand. I am rich in blessing. I am rich in abundance, and endless mountains of grace are always available by my hand. The leaveners are coming to add to the lump of leaven that is in place, and many shall eat of this bread. But my word is true. It is true bread, and that which is pure and undefiled is coming from those who walk with me closely. In this I am pleased. There shall arise confrontation affecting young and old alike, as the leaveners appear as those who are holy. I am opening doors for the pure bread to be preached. I am opening doors to supersede the mammon of those whose bread is not of me. My spirit inoculates against deception by caring for the seed that is planted within and is of me. As I said in my word, through my spirit's help, you can build yourself up in the ability to believe and perceive that which is truth and of me. This message, which has matured in the hearts of many by the work of my spirit, is about to see a greater release to the hearts hungering for the pure word that is unleavened and sets the sons free. Make no room for the unclean. Settle all factions with truth and leave the rest to me. You must keep your eyes on me and the path that is pure and clean. Factions will try to come, but you must keep your eyes on me and the course I have laid before you of fellowship in me. Leave room for nothing else but staying on course with me. I have specific assignments and targets for you to hit that will demolish camps of the enemy. But this will only be done by staying on the narrow path into more of me. Keep your eyes narrowly focused on more of me. Stay the course for more of me. For great jubilation will soon be seen. Stay the course into more of me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that. Religion is hard, but grace is simple and pure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes, enough said, but the religion tries to put do's and don'ts to compensate for the lack of an inward work. Hallelujah. And if we just keep our eyes on Him, eventually, and not too far behind, my flesh will catch up. Hallelujah. It'll catch up. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Just a little past nine. That's good. Hallelujah. We had some, the word. Hallelujah. Miss Bucket Lady. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus? Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah. We're going to meet together Friday night and say that.